Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgur alongside Alex Marvez, SiriusXM NFL radio host, SportingNews.com. Alex, obviously an interesting time of the year here with the Combine. A lot of news coming out today, some related to the Browns in some way. Jimmy Garoppolo, let's start there. What do you think of what you're hearing?
Well, what I'm hearing from Adam Schefter, who I know has sources inside the Patriots organization, this is interesting now. Could they be getting the word out to try to get a team to sweeten the pot on Jimmy Garoppolo? And would the Cleveland Browns, and dare I say it, it's a bold move, would they be willing to give up that number one pick in the draft to select a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, to get a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's someone who's been in a system for a number of years. You're a little bit more certain about him than you are other players. And if it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, then what is plan B for the Cleveland Browns? We need to find out. Is it drafting a quarterback? Is it potentially moving down? The Browns already have the most picks in the draft with 12. So is that something that's going to appeal to them and then potentially come back up, package some of those picks to continue to build this roster? It's a tough one here because I hate seeing when a team makes a self-inflicted wound. And this is what, to me, what the Cleveland Browns did in 2016, unfortunately. You're sitting at number two. You have the chance to draft Carson Wentz. And maybe Carson Wentz, you know, I just think that he was going to give you a better chance to succeed over the long haul. When you look ahead to the 2017 quarterback class, you had to have seen what's out there. What are we going to be able to get? It's like the E.J. Manuel draft class when the Bills reached at number 16 for E.J. back in 2013. The Bills should have known in 2012, this is a bad quarterback class coming up. We need to do something. So this is what's happened now with the Browns. And so it's a scramble to fill the quarterback position. I'm not saying it can't get done, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on this team, but, man, it just makes the decision to pass on Carson Wentz that much more painful for this organization, because I think the young man showed he's going to be pretty darn good.
Had a solid season with Philadelphia last year as a rookie. You're right about that. So let's just go back on Garoppolo. Do you think he's traded or not?
You know, it's at this point, because it's so complicated, I can see the Patriots holding on to him. And I can see them trying to swing a deal in 2018 while he's under a franchise tag, because they have so much cap space available. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, could I see him holding on to him? Sure. Because, look, if something were to happen to Tom Brady, he's more advanced than Jacoby Brissett.
Sure.
Jacoby did a nice job, okay, for what he was asked to do. But let's not kid ourselves here.
He ran a totally different offense.
Yeah, let's not kid ourselves here about where Jacoby Brissett is at in his NFL career. So, you know, if you're talking about a Patriots team that's this close to, you know, repeating as a Super Bowl champion, and you know, you feel like you're going to get better value maybe even for Garoppolo in 2018, or there's a question too. Tom Brady, hey, he's going to be turning 40 this year. You just never know. And look, it doesn't look like anything's happening to Tom Brady. But when you start talking about quarterbacks in their 40s, when you hit that magic number, it's like running backs at 30. You know, you just got to start checking the tire pressure. You know, you got to start, you know, change the oil, those types
sure.
of things. And sometimes those quarterbacks end up falling apart. So I hope that doesn't happen for Tom Brady. I love to watch the guy play. But if you're the Patriots, why not? I mean, it's intriguing because I think so many folks in the Browns media, it was fait accompli about Jimmy Garoppolo, right? You look at the Super Bowl coverage provided. It was all Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's like almost now if you don't get Jimmy, it's like a disappointment. I can't tell you that it's necessarily a bad thing that you don't get Jimmy Garoppolo, because we don't know enough about him. We could hear people brag about him. The guy's played really two games of football in total over a three-game period because of him playing in the second half in 2015, the season finale, and playing one and a half games in 2016. That's all you're
That's
basing it off of. And by the way, set to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. You're going to franchise tag him for $20 million under your cap. You're going to extend him right now, sight unseen. I mean, look, you can go, Rick Spielman is over, the Minnesota Vikings general manager. Let him tell you about A.J. Feely and what happened there. Trade for a guy that had seven starts. Nathan, he was a mess. You know,
Osweiler.
And the Dolphins paid the price. Brock Osweiler. I mean, you know, and even then, at least you had a book on Osweiler. You're making a decision based on seven games. Okay, I'm cool with that. And plus, he was also 4 years in the system that was going on there. In this case, with Garoppolo, a lot of risk that's involved.
It is interesting you bring up the point, though. It does seem that to some, if the Browns don't get him, it's failure. He might not even be available at all. It might not even be an option. So given that we're saying right now, not an option for the Browns, Tyrod Taylor, what are you hearing about him? A name linked to the Browns, but could end up staying in Buffalo, might not be available either.
I think that when Sean McDermott looks at this, you got to ask yourself, who's going to be taking Tyrod Taylor's place? You know, the messed up part about it is that the Bills organization, I mean, can you give the guy some credit for what he did? This guy played hurt last year. He had a great, and I talked to Jerome Felton about this, their fullback. The guy was wincing during practice at times, but he toughed it out. Players didn't know to the extent to which he was hurt and that he had to undergo a surgery, but there were times that he'd miss some snaps and he'd have to be in the training room. But you know what? The guy was there all the time. He was responsible. He was first guy in, last guy to leave. He did his best with two different offensive coordinators and a disastrous wide receiving core because of injuries, and yep. The guy still played pretty darn well. I would love to see Tyrod Taylor in a Browns uniform if he becomes available. I think the guy's a winner. I think he can get it done. Plus, if Robert Griffin III is still part of the Cleveland Browns in 2017, well, you're not going to have to change the offense a whole heck of a lot because these guys have similar skill sets. One of the things that gets tricky is when you have a guy who's, let's say, a larger quarterback, a pocket-type passer, and then the backup is someone that runs a completely different style of offense, maybe a more mobile guy. That's tough on an offensive coordinator. So I think it would behoove the Browns to have this. Of course, too, I never dismiss the possibility of, again, 2017 being a transition year at quarterback. And then when A.J. McCarron starts to approach that free agent market, I know that he still talks to Hugh Jackson. It's not tampering. These guys are friends. They're very close. But when it comes to the Bengals and Browns doing business, we all know.
I don't see it happening.
That's really not going to happen. Trust me, Mike Brown is still holding a grudge from 1961, and that is not going to change.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change either. Talking with Alex Marvez from SiriusXM NFL Radio and SportingNews.com. All right, you talked briefly, and you don't seem very high on this rookie, the rookie crop coming in this year, the quarterbacks here at the Combine. Of the guys, is there anybody you think that could emerge coming out of here in Indy and maybe kind of elevate himself to that top spot?
Well, quarterbacks are going to rise. This is just what happens. There just aren't enough good players at the position. So, you're going to see a guy that's going to get overdrafted. And, the Chicago Bears, you think about them. Look, in Cleveland, I feel like Hugh Jackson, Sasha Brown, these guys have a little bit more time to get this right. I look at San Francisco. They just started the rebuild going on with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. When it comes to Chicago, for example, that's a team you've got 2 years now. You double-digit losses, you have no answer at the position, and they may find someone else, to do it. If you don't take somebody that you feel halfway decent about and try to develop them, and that's where I think the Bears may be that team that might take a guy. Of course, do you want Deshaun Watson? Do you want Mitch Trubisky? And of course, Kaiser from Notre Dame is someone else who feels good. I was talking to a GM last night who says that when all is said and done because of the lack of talent at the position across the NFL, that four quarterbacks may get drafted in the first round just by teams that are taking them, simply because you're going to roll the dice. You've got to try them because what's out there in free agency? I mean, we've talked to a couple guys, but great quarterbacks.
And they might not even be available.
And they may not even be available. Or you have to give up a lot. And if you're the Browns and you're trying to build through the draft, these draft picks are valuable.
Certainly.
It's just what it comes down to.
So when you look at it, you talked about last year, not taking the swing on a quarterback that a lot of people in the league liked. The Browns obviously didn't in Carson Wentz. Does that mean this year in a draft that is so defensive rich that if they like a quarterback, do they have to take him at number one?
I don't think they have to. You can always find talent in the second round. The other thing about the Browns, you have a pick at number 12, and I think there's still going to be quarterbacks available, and you have that ability to move up again because of the luxury of having those 12 draft picks. So that's a possibility. I mean, the only thing that the Browns control, they have the number one pick in the draft, which means they control that. Right, they control that. That's everything else, though, you're just guessing. And that's where a little bit of panic steps in. It's like, okay, if this quarterback isn't available, are we good with the second option at quarterback? Just in case these guys start to go, how much would we have to trade to move up to get this quarterback? That's a tough thing that the Browns' position are in. Look, I can understand, though, what Joe Thomas said during the season and what a lot of people think. Get the pass rusher. Myles Garrett, he could be that guy.
Yep.
Start building this defense. And, of course, we know this defense needs some work under Greg Williams. Shifting to a 4-3 is what it appears, so you'd really love to have. And I think, by the way, the shift is really going to help Emmanuel Ogba.
Agreed.
It's going to help Ryan Nassib, because I think that those guys are 4-3 college ends that were playing out of position probably in Cleveland. So I think that that's going to help. But to have a Myles Garrett, someone who can affect the quarterback, it's all part of this rebuilding process in Cleveland.
I think it will be. One other bit of Cleveland news today, Josh Gordon applying for reinstatement. If you're the Browns, let's say he gets reinstated, what do you do with Josh Gordon?
You get rid of him as fast as humanly possible. You just do it. I'm sorry.
I have such a soft spot in my heart for Josh Gordon.
You know what? I would love to see him as a human being succeed.
Yeah.
The problem is that this costs people their jobs. Players like this do. And, look, you've seen it with Aldon Smith. And, look, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, these are really awful things that have happened, and he's been given chance and chance again. And what happens now is if you start to bank on Josh Gordon, what happens if he falls off the wagon again? Then you haven't developed another wide receiver. Your team takes a blow. Guys get disappointed. It ruins locker room morale. It's just tough. I really believe that, look, I hope the young man gets it right, but I think that just starting over is probably best for everyone that's involved. I mean, how many different regimes is this guy going to go through? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, where everyone keeps saying because he's so talented. By the way, where is he at right now as a player? I know that the agent puts out or the business manager puts out a statement. He's in the best shape of his life. Of course sure. He is. You're trying to make money for your client. But, I mean, Josh Gordon hasn't – when was the last time he had a real season of football?
He's missed 43 of the last 48 possible games.
Wow. You know,
so
that'll answer your
basically 3 years. Yes,
it's
been a while.
You know, and when Hugh Jackson loses patience with you, I think that says a lot because Hugh will tolerate a lot. He tries to work with young men. And, again, I hope he gets it right, but just run away. It's just like Johnny Manziel. Just let it go.
All right, last one, Terrell Pryor. What are you hearing on that front? Do you think he returns to the Cleveland Browns?
I think he returns because of the love he has for Hugh Jackson. As long as, you know, what will happen is I think they'll get a market value, and that'll go on here at the Combine before the legal tampering period begins.
Sure.
But they'll have an idea of how much value he has, Nathan. And then, you know, I think they'll go back to the Browns. Cleveland, as of Monday with the release of Andrew Hawkins, $110 million under the cap. They have ample room to get it done. So my feeling is that they will get it done. He's a guy who wants to be there. That's a big thing for the Cleveland Browns. You want people who want to be there, and he wants to be there. I think a pretty dynamic guy. You could build around him with Corey Coleman as well. I mean, the receiver you feel a lot better about
if
you're a pressure, especially if you're drafting a quarterback. You want to have this person, the quarterback, be able to grow with the talent that he's got, and I just think it would be a big loss for the Browns if he were to go. But I also understand, too, he's not a franchise type of wide receiver. Now, if you put the transition tag on him, now that's where things would be interesting to me, because then at that point, you can see. But, of course, then you're guaranteeing him a one-year deal, and you're upsetting him because he doesn't have the financial security that he's going to want that would come with a long-term contract. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I would be surprised, not shocked, but surprised if Terrell Pryor walked out that building.
All right, Alex, thank you so much for the time and the insight, and hopefully we'll have an offseason next year where we're talking about a Browns team with a quarterback and a nucleus in place getting ready to go.
Exactly. Absolutely. Thanks again.
All right, thank you.